This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, Sheikh, I remember when you told me the story about beloved Sheikh Haytham, when he was suffering from his cancer. And those who know, the cancer got at one point quite severe. The lump was on top of his, you could see it so clearly above his shoulder, up to his earlobe. Yeah. He was in pain and he was suffering. But subhanAllah, there's very few people like him who exhibited the characteristic that he had pure confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this falsehood, this cancer would go. Yeah. It says he mentioned, I recite Quran on this all the time.
The Quran is the truth.
And subhanAllah, he mentions that verse in the Quran that indeed truth is
has come
and falsehood has perished. And falsehood by its very nature is bound to vanish. And subhanAllah, we know the conclusion. The cancer, alhamdulillah, removed it by his promise. But why is it, Sheikh, that some of us do the same thing and yet and recite and do dua and all the things that belief in Allah's promise, but it doesn't come to pass?
Because people have different degrees in confidence in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there's going to be a varying degree in the outcome as well, depending on your confidence. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never fails in His promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah does not fail in His promise. And this indeed is a principle that pours so much reassurance and confidence within the heart of a Muslim. Especially those who are experiencing some sort of hardship at any level. They remember that there is no one who is truer to His word than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I would like to say at this juncture that this principle of Allah not failing in His promise is not exclusive to the context of revelation to this verse. No, it applies to each and every promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So allow your heart to rest. It has to come to pass. So a Muslim who believes this does not focus too much on the fulfillment of the promise. What does he focus on? He focused on the necessary human effort that is linked to that promise. Because when the conditions are met, meaning hard work, certainty, patience, then the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a given. Its arrival is a byproduct. Because Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Allah does not fail in His promise. And He said, إِنَّمَا تُعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٌ. What you are promised is true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ لَوَاقِعُ. What you are promised must come to pass. In fact, why is it that people break their promises? It's usually either because the promise itself was a lie to begin with, or because of an inability to act upon that promise afterwards. And that's why Allah never fails in His promise. Because Allah is exalted above lying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't affected by weakness in any way, able to do all things. So why would He fulfill? Why would He not fulfill a promise? And so we ask, as Allah asked in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Who is truer to His covenant than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now with that said, let us take a look at some of the promises of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, all of which have to come to pass, but as we said, if the prerequisites are met from us, the human effort. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that Islam will remain till the day of judgment, even if the adversaries of the religion may hate it. And that is because Muslim narrates on the authority of Thawban an inspiring hadith where the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah Almighty drew the ends of the world together for me. And so I have seen its western and its eastern parts. And I saw that the kingdom of my ummah will reach those two ends. And I have been granted the red and the white treasure. And I begged my Lord for two things. Number one, that my ummah should never be destroyed because of famine. And I asked him that it should never be dominated by an enemy who is outside of it, who would eradicate them. And my Lord responded, and he said, "Oh Muhammad, whenever I make a decision, it cannot be changed. So I grant for you, your ummah, that it would never be destroyed by famine, and that it will never be dominated by an enemy who is not amongst them, who would end up eradicating them." Listen to this next part. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ مَنْ بِأَقْبَارِهَا. Meaning, even if the entire world were to join hands to do so. So this is a promise that could not have been remembered at a better time for our bruised ummah. One of the ways in which Allah fulfills this promise, i.e. that Islam will remain, is by safeguarding a select group of Muslims who will remain adherent upon the truth until the end of time. In each and every era, they exist, even if they are few in number. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. There will always be a group from my ummah who are prevalent with the truth, and they will not be harmed by those who let them down till the command of Allah comes to pass. So a Muslim who believes these promises will not despair regardless of the magnitude of the hostility that Islam faces and the Muslims face, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are far more truthful than those of men. Islam will remain. Promise number two, Allah has promised those who practice Islam inwardly and outwardly a pleasant life. In no era in history has the means of comfort and welfare ever been so within reach like they are today. Never has the knowledge of the world's complex mysteries and the ability of subduing nature's unfriendly elements ever been attained like they have today. But subhanallah, despite all of these astounding achievements, and in despite possessing all of the means for a better life, that goal of leading a pleasant life and feeling mental peace has never drifted further away from our shores like it has today. I mean, when you say New Zealand, for example, what image comes to your mind? Mountains, landscape, vast and empty, endless beauty. But for years on end, it's actually been struggling with very high rates of depression and suicide. And there was a new report by the UNICEF, which has a horrifying statistic suggesting that New Zealand has by far the highest youth suicide rate in the developed world. So it's evident that the 21st century has taught us how to fly in the air like birds and how to swim in the oceans like fish. But how to walk on the face of the earth as happy and content and pleased individuals, a lot of people still don't know how to do that. What is the problem? Take the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ كَفَّرَ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَأَصْلَحَ بَالَهُمْ. And those who believe, he said, and they do righteous deeds, and they believe in that which is sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is the truth from their Lord, what will he give them? He said, he will erase from them their sins and he will improve their state. He will improve their state. And Allah promises, man amila salihan, whoever works good deeds, min dhakarin aw untha, male or female, wa huwa mu'min, whilst having iman, falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah, we will give them a happy life. So you read all the theories you want, and we can take every medicine on the shelf and try knocking on every door and visit every avenue in search for this gem called happiness and peace of mind. We will not find it, except where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to find it. That's at the doorstep of Islam and his obedience. That is a promise from Allah, promise number two. As for promise number three, Allah has promised those who stretch out their palms to their Lord in dua, he will fill them with abundance. He will answer. Should we fail to believe this, then we are in need of an immediate retreat to the drawing board of Aqidah and to assess who we are. Because Allah has promised to answer dua. He said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call upon me and I will respond to you. Should you succeed in settling this promise in your heart and finding for it a home, then your dua will become one of the most beloved acts of worship in your life. So don't direct the focus on the answer of the dua. No, focus on the meeting, on the conditions of dua. So not asking Allah for haram, that's a condition. Not rushing for an answer, not doubting, not making earnings from haram sources of income, not giving up. Then the dua will come as a byproduct. And that's why Umar, he said, إِنِّي لَا أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الْإِجَابَةِ إِنَّمَا أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الدُّعَاءِ فَإِذَا أُلْهِمْتُ الدُّعَاءِ فَإِنَّ الْإِجَابَةَ مَعَهُ. He said, I don't worry about the answering of a dua. I worry about my dua itself. Have I done it right? He said, because if I am inspired to make the right dua in the right way, then the answer will come with it as a byproduct. That's promise number three, Allah will answer dua. Promise number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who put out a sinful practice with a replacement of that which is better. And that is a promise that provides so much strength, maybe to the young Muslims more than others, who may be struggling with a specific attachment that he or she knows will distance them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Qatada and Abu Dahma, they said that we came to an Arab Bedouin man in the desert tending to his sheep. We said to him, have you ever heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say anything? And he said, yes. I heard him saying that there isn't anything that you leave for the sake of Allah, except that Allah will replace you with something better. Allahu Akbar. That replacement may come to you in an obvious fashion. For example, an impermissible relationship that you sever may be replaced by a permissible relationship. An impermissible business transaction, Allah replaces you with a better and purer business transaction, and so on. And however, the reward, the replacement may come in a different form, in a different fashion. So Allah gives you health for your children, a cure from an illness, a beautiful and righteous spouse, an ability to pray at night that you didn't have before. And that's because Allah knows what is best for you. And He will reward you for your courageous rejection of the impermissible. And the answer will be tailored to what you need, not what you think you need. The last of those promises I share, promise number five, is that the outcome of patience will bring paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, listen to these verses, brothers and sisters, and just try to live with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ مِن مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّضًا وَزَفِيرًا. When the hellfire sees them from a distant place, that's the day of judgment, they will hear its fury and roaring. وَإِذَا أُلْقُوا مِنْهَا مَكَانًا ضَيِّقًا مُقَرَّنِينَ دَعُوا هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا. And when they are thrown into a narrow place in hell, bound in chains, they will cry out for destruction. لا تدعوا اليوم ثبورا واحدا ودعوا ثبورا كثيرا. And they will be told, don't cry on this day for one destruction, but cry for many destructions. Then Allah says, قل أذلك خير أم جنة الخلد التي وعد المتقون. Say, is that better or the gardens of eternity which is promised to the righteous? It will be for them a reward and a final destination. لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ خَالِدِينَ. Within it they will have everything they may wish, living there eternally. The conclusion, كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ وَعْدًا مَسْئُولًا. It is a promise binding upon your Lord that must be fulfilled. It's a promise. The reward for patience is jannah. You know, me and you, we know certain people who've built for themselves such a reputation of honesty that they would prefer to die many times over as opposed to failing in a promise that they made. So if that is the status of a promise in the eyes of some human beings, what is the status of a promise in the eyes of Allah, who's given himself the name Al-Haq, the truth, and then Barr, the ever-doer of good, and then Kareem, the most generous? This is reassuring. One of the most reassuring principles that Allah has given us, the promise that says, or the principle that says, Inna Allah la yukhliqu al-mi'ad. Allah never fails in His promise.
وبالحق أنزلناه وبالحق نزل وما أرسلناك إلا مبشرا ونذيرا وقرآنا فرقناه لتقرأه على الناس على مكث ونزلناه تنزيلا